It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dino and Gibbs with you for Cleveland Browns Daily. We'll take you up till 3 o'clock today as we're in for Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm. 216-578-0850 is our number. On Twitter at Browns underscore daily. Also, we are at BGSU Gibbs and at Dino Cleveland. So we'll get to your calls, some of your thoughts on Twitter coming up. We will also, again, head to Chicago, hear from Jeff Dickerson in about a half hour. But now it's time for one of my favorite segments, the Friday Forecast.
Number one.
I think you, didn't you birth this segment?
I did.
With Victor Carucci?
With Victor Carucci. Yeah, this and he would use the term birthed. After Further Review and Friday Forecast were both birthed by yours truly and Victor Carucci.
Carucci. All right, buddy. Question number one today.
Okay.
Give me the one rookie on the Browns outside of Corey Coleman who will make the biggest impact on this team in 2016.
That's a good question.
I have to bring up my roster.
Here's my issue. I think it's because the Browns do have they're gonna have a lot of players rotating defensively in their front seven. You know, think about Nassib or Ogba. They'll make impacts, but I don't think they'll be as noticeable as the wide receivers. I'm gonna go Hollywood Higgins. I trust Nathan Zagura. I trust Tony Grossi. A lot of people are high on this young man. So I'm going to say Rashad Higgins. I think he's going to be – I don't know if he'll start as early as some people think he might be the other guy on the opposite of Corey Coleman, but I think Higgins is going to make a pretty measurable impact. What about you?
The Taylor kid, wide receiver. The Taylor kid? Why am I drawing a blank today?
You thinking of Peyton, the kid from UCLA?
Oh, you know, I am looking at an article involving Taylor.
Oh, okay.
That's why. Jordan Payton.
He could be. That's not a bad call. I'm not saying you're wrong with that.
No. Here's the thing with him. We haven't seen him at all in the offseason workouts. Unfortunately, where he goes to school, he wasn't able to be with anything, do anything until the minicamp.
Those darn quarter schools.
Get with the times, quarter schools. It's now semester world.
Semesters are where it's at, folks.
Yes. If for no other reason, make sure our players get in for the off-season program.
Yes. My goodness.
People keep saying, well, he could be behind. He's a very astute kid. He pays attention. He studies hard. Don't think that this guy won't be competing for a spot. He's fast. And he catches the football as well as anybody on the football team. I just think that I love Hollywood. You took Hollywood. I'm going the other direction.
Well, and if it had been the flip side, I probably would have done the same thing. But you agree with me. It's not that Nassib, Schobert, Ogba aren't going to be impact. Those defensive players the Browns took aren't going to be impactful. But you've got a lot of guys in the mix. You know, you're going to have to. You know, if you want to be a starting, if you want to get a lot of time at that outside linebacker spot, you're going to have to, you know, get playing time ahead of Paul Kruger. Okay. Or ahead of, you know, a guy like Nate Orchard. You're going to be in a rotation. How's Mingo going to work into it? So,
we haven't talked a whole lot about.
Yeah.
I mean, he's right up there with Gilbert.
Yeah.
What are you going to show me? Because it's put up or shut up.
Yeah.
Time.
Last shot. Yep. I mean, this is it.
Yeah. For this football team, it's your last chance.
Right. I mean, you might catch on somewhere else, but here, this might be your last opportunity. Yeah. So, yeah, that's why I'm going to go offensively. I'm curious to watch these young defensive players. I mean, the one thing one of the things that came away with this draft, and it was, you know, John Morris, the voice of the Bears, reminded me just the insane numbers that were put up by the players the Browns drafted. You know, the number of sacks that Carl Nassib had, the number of touchdowns that Corey Coleman had.
And I'm always hesitant because I don't want to How many guys have we seen put up amazing numbers and it hasn't translated?
Vince Mailey caught over 100 passes at Washington State or whatever.
He also dropped 100 passes.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Numbers don't lie. You can stretch them. You can twist them.
That's why I always have fun with Zagura.
Yeah.
He might make fun of me because I have no ability whatsoever to guess numbers correctly because, well, I can't and I'm terrible at it. But you can always take numbers to mean something that you want it to mean.
Yes. You can, I mean, you can do analytics any way you want. But I'm intrigued to watch the young defensive players, but I think the offensive players are going to have more of an impact.
Number two.
Question number two on this Friday. What's the best rivalry in the AFC North right now? So we talked about rivalries a lot yesterday.
Wow.
It's the best one going right now.
Steelers-Bengals, I think.
I would say yes, and I still think that Steeler-Ravens game, you want to talk about a slobber knocker.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, guys come out of that banged up. Guys need a full week to recover after that one. The best thing they do is put that game on a Thursday night a lot of times, where you get an extra few days to recover.
Oh, yeah. You need 10 days after one of those games. I would normally agree. I just – watching that playoff game
– I'm just going against whatever you did.
Well, that's all right.
I'm trying to give a different light. But, yeah, no. Cincinnati-Pittsburgh is – after what happened last year in the playoffs and what happened in the regular season, I can't wait to see what happens this season.
It's one of the things to watch this year. A wise man told me, you are not relevant in the National Football League until you win in your division and you win at home. Browns got to find ways to win in their division. They cannot, you know, we cannot keep having this January 1st or January 3rd or whenever we finish the year in Pittsburgh getting massacred by the Steelers. I'm tired of that.
I can't take that anymore.
I'm tired of it.
I want to lobby to the NFL to please not make the last game of the year the Steelers.
Yeah.
Can we stop with that, please?
Yeah.
I can't handle it.
Yeah. But you know what? They're not going to stop it. And the only way we're going to feel better about it is we actually win that game.
Correct.
You know, see, I want the Browns-Steelers to be a great rivalry again. I want that to be a great national rivalry.
Like we talked about yesterday.
Yes.
You know, as much as we knew the players on our team, we all knew the players
right.
on their team.
Right.
And we all loved to hate them.
Right.
Bubby Bristers of the world.
Right.
The Hines Wards
Hines
of the world.
Ward. Polamalu.
Yeah.
Harrison. Roethlisberger. Bettis.
All those schlubs.
And then you go back, you know, you want to go back to the 90s. You know, I hated Barry Foster, Neil O'Donnell. You know, all those guys.
Yep.
Couldn't yeah. stand Kevin Green.
But you knew them.
But you knew them.
Because it was a rivalry.
Right.
It went back and forth.
Right.
And that's missing right now.
Yeah, it's missing. You can't be a rival unless you start
right,
winning
so
games
what,
consistently.
What would you like to see the Browns' record in the division be this year?
I mean, I'd love it to be 4-2 or 5-1, but realistically, give me 3-3.
I was thinking the exact
same thing.
Give me
3-3.
3-3.
Give me 3-3.
Because then, okay, now you're competitive.
Right.
And if you can do three wins against, if you could beat each team in the division?
Yeah, I'd love
okay.
that. I'd love that. You know, if you're 2-1, or you know, you actually, oh, for heaven forbid, you actually, you know, sweep the Bengals or sweep the Ravens and beat Cincinnati or Pittsburgh. But at least then, you know, you've got something. You're not just the doormat that everybody puts an L next to on the schedule. I would love to see, but, you know, to answer your question, think about the best. I want the best rivalry in the AFC North to be Browns
yeah.
Steelers. Or I want or the Battle of Ohio. Or the Modell Bowl. I don't care which one. I want the Browns to be involved in that. And the only way that's going to happen is they start winning. Next.
Number three.
Question number three. We move on to the NBA. Now that we are through the bulk of NBA free agency, what team in the East is the biggest threat to the Cavaliers?
I did this with Hools. I don't think it was either yesterday or the day. Actually, it was yesterday. I think I made him give me the top four teams in each conference now that we kind of have an idea of the framework of free agency and trades. I think the Celtics getting Horford That'll help. Toronto keeping that Dynamite backcourt.
I'm still amazed that DeRozan came back as quickly as he did.
I am too.
Didn't even make visits.
I know.
I mean, great, good for him.
Right.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think with DeRozan and Lowry, Toronto still is a factor. But I think the Indiana Pacers, by virtue of getting Teague, getting Jefferson, and Thaddeus Young, I think that three big pickups. Now, if you look at it and you say, okay, who there really scares you? Well, other than Paul George. I mean, Paul George has the ability to take over a game. He's a legitimate star, maybe a top 10, top 15 in the league player. But there are some good pieces around them, whereas Indiana now, I think they might be the second best team in the league, but I still think the Cavs, as they're composed, would still beat them. But keep an eye on Indiana. And I'm still curious, Jace, if there's not going to be some big, if somebody in the East doesn't get, if DeMarcus Cousins gets traded, or, I'm not buying the Knicks.
I'm not buying the Knicks.
And frankly, I'm not buying the Bulls. Jeff Dickerson may have a different opinion.
I'm buying the Bulls.
You're buying the Bulls?
I'm buying the Bulls. That was my answer.
Okay. So you're buying the Rondo, Wade, Butler triumvirate.
Dwayne Wade's in LeBron's head.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. A
little bit.
A little bit. I don't know how deep they're going to be. I don't know, and who knows? Dwayne Wade and Rondo might not even be able to play by the quarter mark of the season. They both might be on the injured list. And it could be Jimmy Butler, and that would be it. But I love Jimmy Butler. And I think Wade is a nice compliment. And if Rondo can lead the league in assists like he did last year, they're going to win some basketball games.
It's an
awkward mesh of guys.
Yes.
They can win some games. I love Indiana. I love that. That might be one of the best trades that we've seen.
The Teague trade? Yeah.
And I still – Toronto gave you – and their big
games.
Man's going to be back and be healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, having a healthy Valanciunas.
They got three guys.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the Cavs can't waltz through the East like they did this year, because I believe that to be the case still. But you've got some teams now that'll at least make it interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to see as many sweeps.
How do you like what the Knicks did?
I don't understand.
Having Derrick Rose, now you have with Carmelo Anthony and Porzingis and Courtney Lee.
I feel bad for Porzingis.
What did I see?
No one's even going to pay attention to the kid.
I know. It's my worry.
He's never going to see the
ball. He's never going to get the ball.
No, unless he gets an offensive rebound.
Right. That's going to be interesting to watch, too, that dynamic.
There's
talk about trying to trade for Russell Westbrook. Derrick Rose and Russell Westbrook on the same team.
And Carmelo.
Let's not
forget, Carmelo's like, hey, where are my shots?
Oh, that would be the best soap opera ever if Russell Westbrook goes on that team.
It just blows my mind, man.
Yes.
I'm interested to see how that team just implodes, because I don't expect them to have any success.
No, they're going to implode. I could see it. There might be a night where they might beat the Cavs.
Sure. No, that
might
beat
be because Rose will score 30, Melo will score 30, and they'll beat a good team. But then there'll be nights where they'll just implode.
Yeah.
Oh, that could be fun to watch.
And Jeff Hornacek's your coach.
I don't know how that's going to work either.
Yeah. I know how it's going to go. Good and terrible.
Number four.
Final one today. The NBA and NHL have skills competitions. MLB with the Home Run Derby next week. What should the NFL do or look to do to enhance the Pro Bowl?
Oh, that's a good question. Because obviously the NBA has always done it right with the All-Star Weekend. Say what you want about the slam dunk competition. It's at least somewhat entertaining. The three-point shootout is extremely entertaining. Like you said, the NHL skills competitions, people enjoy that. They enjoy the Home Run Derby. They even enjoy the celebrity softball games. All right, so how do we make the Pro Bowl better? We've tried having Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders pick the teams. Now, part of the problem is, of course, as we know with the Pro Bowl, guys get selected, but they don't play. And some of them are legitimately hurt. Some of them don't want to play after the Super Bowl. Or if they put it the week before the Super Bowl, they can't play.
Exactly. I like the skills and get rid of the Pro Bowl altogether. But you can't just have a quarterback competition. So what do you do? What are the other guys doing?
Yeah. Do you have a jugs machine competition for the wide route? I don't. Or do you do it like they used to do the superstars where you basically.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah. Or the Battle of the Network Stars, where you do a bunch of different like decathlon events. I don't know.
Give me a gladiator competition with those guys.
There you go. Ooh.
That could work. Ooh,
I like that.
A little gladiator?
Or like the American Ninja thing?
Oh, I've been watching that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, see, you could do that. That would be interesting. But you can't – the Pro Bowl – I remember watching it as a kid quite a bit because you wanted to see the one, you know, I wanted to see Hanford Dixon or Frank Minifield play in it or the one year Bernie got to go. You know, you want to see your guy play in the game and it was fun. But, you know, all of a sudden, I don't know why it changed, but it got, you know, more players didn't want to go to, how can you not want to go to Hawaii? How can you not want to go
to
Hawaii?
Says the mayor of Hawaii.
I am the head of the Hawaii public relations. How do you not want to go to Hawaii in early February? How do you not want to take that trip?
I'm all for it.
Right. But they've got to figure out how they can spruce it up a little bit. Yeah, I like the American Ninja competition.
Yeah, something a little different.
Yeah. All right. That is the Friday forecast. Jeff Dickerson of ESPN 1000 in Chicago and also the NFL Nation reporter for the Bears will join us about 10 minutes or so away as Cleveland Browns Daily continues right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Cleveland Browns Daily continuing here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Alongside Jason Gibbs, I'm Dave DiNatale, Jeff Dickerson from ESPN 1000 in Chicago, also ESPN radio host, and he is the beat writer for NFL Nation on ESPN for the Bears. I was reading, Jace, as we get ready to talk to him, the Bears, we've just been talking about tight ends with Ivy League pedigrees yesterday. The Bears have one that they're looking at, a kid named Ben Broniker from Harvard, that they're high on, and they think that he'll make the cut.
I saw that. I said, wow, another Harvard guy. What's with the Harvard football program? I don't remember being Harvard that great as a football
The Crimson, program. Baby. Wow. It's interesting. The Bears also, when we talked to Jeff, they have not one now, but two ex-Browns quarterbacks on their roster. Obviously, they got Brian Hoyer in the offseason.
I totally forgot about that, too, until I was doing my research and saw the depth chart.
Got Brian Hoyer, but they very recently picked up Connor Shaw. Now,
love me some Connor Shaw,
though. Yeah, I was going to say, we'll see how that works out. They think they had a pretty good draft in Chicago, so they're pretty high on what they've done. But it's a 6-10 team in the same division as both the Packers and the Vikings. So, you know, Packers, you've got Aaron Rodgers. You always have that threat of a team that can be a Super Bowl contender. And obviously Minnesota took a step forward last year with Teddy Bridgewater. So I'm curious to kind of see where Chicago's head's going to be at. And now that I think about it, the possibility of Brian Hoyer starting in week four of the preseason.
Hoyer versus Kessler?
Hoyer versus Kessler.
Woo!
I'm very excited.
Now we're talking.
I'm very excited now. So we've got a lot to get into.
Now we got a game four. Now we got a game. Deacon is going to like.
Deacon is going to be all in now. Deacon, sign Deke up. Oh, I love it. So now I'm excited for preseason game number four. So we'll talk about that with Jeff Dickerson coming up. Also, the big week in Chicago from an NBA standpoint, as Dwayne Wade, the native of the Windy City, coming back home to join the Bulls. Jason Gibbs is, well, bullish on that move and what it means for Chicago. I think they're going to miss. I'm going to ask him, though, okay, you've added Wade, but how much are they going to miss Pau Gasol? Because he was a matchup problem for the Cavs in the past. So I want to talk to him about that, what we can expect from Mike Dunleavy, and a lot more. Jeff Dickerson on the flip side as Cleveland Browns Daily continues on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dino and Gibbs in for Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm as Cleveland Browns Daily continues here on ESPN 850 WKNR. The Browns 3 weeks away from starting training camp, and then, of course, we get to the preseason. And this year, it seems like it's a rite of passage. The preseason will end with Game 4 as the Browns will host the Chicago Bears. To talk about the Bears and a lot more, we want to get into some other Chicago sports with them. He is the NFL Nation reporter for ESPN for the Bears. He is a host at ESPN 1000. You also hear him occasionally here on ESPN 850 WKNR because he's a host at ESPN Radio as well. He is Jeff Dickerson. Jeff, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Great to be with you.
Well, as I said, it's a tradition unlike any other. The Browns and Bears will finish out the preseason against each other. But I think Jason Gibbs and yours truly have figured out that something could be nice this year. It could be Cody Kessler for the Browns at quarterback in that final game against former Browns quarterback Brian Hoyer. I would be excited about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be Brian Hoyer starting that fourth preseason game. By that point, you know, they won't risk Jay Cutler going out there. And they'll probably sit everybody. I think that's what John Fox did last year. You guys know how the NFL discourages teams from coming out publicly, you know, the days before the fourth preseason game and saying, well, no one's going to play because, well, no one's going to watch if that's the case. Mm-hmm. And still people don't watch because the fourth preseason game, as we all have suffered through the years, is very painful. But, yeah, Hoyer, you know, barring something unforeseen, will be the Bears' backup this season. They gave him $750,000 in guaranteed money. You know, I had a chance to spend some time with Hoyer during the veteran mini camp, and I'm sure I speak for everyone in Cleveland that covered him on the Browns beat. You know, what a great guy, mm-hmm. and, you know, just a terrific individual. I don't know, you know, how much he has left. I mean, I think at this stage of his career, he really is an ideal backup. I think the league spoke by not, you know, offering him a starting job anywhere, even though there were jobs open and in Denver for a while there, and there was some uncertainty in New York with the Jets. He explored those options, but eventually came to Chicago, where, you know, he knew Dow Loggins, who I know does not have a good reputation in Cleveland, but he's the new Bears play caller, mm-hmm. you know, nonetheless. So it was a good spot for him. I don't know how effective he would be if he had to play in long stretches, but at least you've got someone backing up Cutler that has experience. So if Cutler goes down, or if and when he goes down this year, it seems like that also was a rite of passage. You know, Cutler getting hurt nowadays. You have someone who has experience and knows what he's doing and can at least get you through a week or two, not embarrassing yourself.
How's the dynamic? Obviously, they promoted him from quarterback's coach to offensive coordinator. How's that dynamic been with Dow Loggins and Jay Cutler?
I mean, they were friends going into this. You know, they knew each other when Loggins was coaching in Tennessee because Cutler went to college at Vanderbilt, and he spends a lot of time in Nashville. So they just kind of they've met and they've known each other for a while. You know, I don't know how it's going to work, though, honestly. I think the Bears are trying to sell it like it's going to be this seamless transition from Adam Gase to Dow Loggins. I mean, I laugh when I hear that. I mean, Adam Gase, I don't know what kind of head coach he's going to be in Miami, but as an offensive coordinator, I can tell you guys, he was one of the best in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. And he was like the hottest head coaching candidate on the market last year. I've never heard that said about Dow Loggins before. Now, he has experience, certainly, and he was the quarterback's coach last year, and the Bears like to give him credit for playing a role and Cutler having an improved season. But I have no clue if what he's thinking is going to work, and I have no idea if Cutler unravels during a game, if Loggins has the ability to get him back on track like Gase did. That, to me, was the real magic of Adam Gase. He was able to get Cutler out of trouble during games. And, I mean, Cutler has never gotten along with anybody like he got along with Adam Gase last year. That was really a perfect relationship, and it's too bad that for Cutler's sake it ended. But the Loggins thing, I think no matter what, it could be good, but it also could be spectacularly bad. We'll just kind of see when the season gets here how it all eventually plays itself out.
And Jeff, you know, we talk about Loggins, we talk about Jay Cutler, but that Loggins didn't get any favors thrown his way taking over this job, losing Matt Forte, losing Martellus Bennett coming off a 90-catch season two seasons ago. How do the Bears begin to replace those guys, especially the fan-favorite Forte?
Oh, no doubt. And I think Forte, even though he was older, I think if you ask people inside the locker room, he's going to be a much bigger loss because Bennett had really worn out his welcome. He wasn't a very popular guy. I mean, I think the guy's supremely talented, and my guess is because he's looking for a new contract, he's going to have a great year in New England. So I wouldn't put that past him, but he wasn't pulling on the same end of the rope, if you know what I'm saying, with everyone else. So I think they were happy to let him go. Forte, though, completely different story. You know, he wanted to come back. Bears did not even make him an offer, which I still find hard to believe. So now it's, you know, Jeremy Langford, Kadeem Carey. They drafted Jordan Howard in the fifth round out of Indiana. They've got Jacquizz Rodgers, who made the team last year. It's going to be a struggle for them to succeed in the backfield without Forte. You know, Langford is the heir apparent, but you know, he didn't have a great offseason. I think that there are still some concerns about him, you know, being mentally sharp, you know, knowing his assignments, knowing all the plays, knowing his protection. He dropped a lot of passes last year. He's got great breakaway speed. We all saw that when he had a chance to play, but it's very different being the lead dog and having every team in the NFL gunning for you on defense every week. They're going to do the running back by committee approach. They do like Kadeem Carey, who suffered a minor injury at the end of minicamp. So we'll see what his status is when training camp opens up later this month. You know, Howard, a fifth-round pick, he's kind of a different style back than Langford. He's more of a powerful bruiser type. And Rodgers is a small guy, but he's very powerfully built, and they do trust him. So, yes, I think that's going to be an issue because with Cutler, you got to be so careful. You know, you got to run the ball, and you got to have a balanced attack with him because if he's throwing the ball 50 times a game, I mean, the interceptions are going to come hot and heavy. And that was the beauty of last year is that there was such a balanced attack, and it was so unpredictable with Gase calling plays that Cutler, the turnover percentage for Cutler went way, way down. So it's going to be difficult, and yes, Loggins definitely has his work cut out for him. And what really will help the Bears guys is if Kevin White, their first-round pick from last year, turns out to be a player. I'll tell you, on paper and just watching him at, you know, these off-season workouts, which don't mean much, he looks the part. How's he going to react when he gets hit? How's he going to react in real games? I don't know, but on paper, he looks like he could be a prototypical number one receiver in the NFC.
Jeff Dickerson joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Jeff is the ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Bears, also works at ESPN 1000 in Chicago and ESPN Radio. Is the Alshon Jeffrey contract squabble going to be a big distraction, you think, when training camp gets underway and the season gets underway for the Bears?
I really don't think it's going to be a big deal because Alshon already signed his tender, so he's coming to camp regardless if they get a deal done before this July 15th deadline. And I have been very pessimistic that was going to happen for quite some time. They were just really far off with their numbers. Now, I can tell you from Jeffrey's perspective, you know, he wants to get paid like a top five wideout. And you know that whenever a guy gets the tag placed on him, it's the same story in every city. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, well, if I'm good enough to, you know, get the tag and be paid like a top five guy for 1 year, I want that for a long-term deal. And the Bears, I don't believe, are want to do that. You know, there is some injury concern with Alshon Jeffrey. He missed 7 games last year, had a variety of health setbacks, which was strangely enough, most of them happened at practice, which is like I've never seen more practice injuries.
I was going to say, I was reading some of your work, and it sounds like that was it was like a disease that infected your team infected the Bears last year. And Gibbs and I were just talking about the Browns having the Tour de Berea, where everybody's on the bikes here in Berea, but it sounds like it was an epidemic in Chicago.
It was awful. I covered all 9 years for Lovie Smith, and in those 9 years, I remember two practice injuries. There was a fullback named Jason McKee, had a good run in Chicago, shredded his quad one day during an indoor walkthrough on a Friday, which was so freakish. And then Earl Bennett, who played a little bit for the Browns before he left the game,
Oh yes. He
broke his hand fielding a punt. It was the freakiest thing you ever saw. But I never saw that during the regular season, and it happened all the time last year, especially for Jeffrey. So there are injury concerns. So the Bears weren't thrilled that Alshon decided to skip the offseason program and train down in South, sort of the voluntary portion of the offseason program. But look, it is what it is. He might not be back after this year, but it is in Alshon Jeffrey's best interest to have a great season. The Bears would benefit enormously if he had a great season. So all that contract stuff, I think, can get pushed off to next year, because right now it's going to be the one-year deal. It's going to be the franchise tag, and he needs to have a monster year. And if he's healthy, he has proven that he can put up some big, big numbers. So we'll see. He's playing for his future here in the NFL. And my guess is he's going to respond and have a year where he's got like 1,300 receiving yards. I can really see that happening.
Jeff, my question for you then, coming off of the Jeffrey talk, is are we actually going to see Kevin White this year? Actually playing a regular season game?
Well, boy, if you don't, can you imagine what kind of story that would be in Chicago?
Exactly. No,
Well, the plan is yes. I mean, I can tell you that I watched him in the offseason program. He was full go. There was not a health setback, that we knew of. He looks big. I mean, he looks like Julio Jones. I'm not saying he's going to play like Julio Jones. I'm just saying when you look at him, you're like, oh, okay. Now I see maybe why the Bears drafted him 7th overall. It was a huge disappointment last year when he had to miss the entire season because he suffered that stress fracture in his shin, overtraining for the combine. Then normally stress fractures will heal just by time, but this one wasn't healing. So he had to have the surgery. They inserted a rod in his tibia, and now it looks like he's good to go. Again, my thing with Kevin White is, and I also believe this, you're going to hear a lot of hype coming out of Chicago about Kevin White during training camp because the Bears' secondary stinks. So he's going to light them up every day because there's no fear of getting hit, right, in training camp. I mean, you're going to go up there, and he's going to torch these guys because it's not a good secondary. They have a lot of work they got to do on defense still. They got a little better, but not in the secondary. But when the game gets here and he's getting hit, I want to know how he's going to respond. And we just, again, it's impossible to forecast how that's all going to play out. But they have huge plans for him. He is going to be a huge part of the offense. He'll be the number two next to Alshon. They think that he's athletic enough where he can maybe move around. On paper, they think like with Jeffrey and with White, and if they can get Eddie Royal back to have a productive season like he did 2 years ago in San Diego, they feel like with Zach Miller at tight end, they've got a formidable group of options for Cutler to throw to in the passing game. But, yeah, it all just depends on health and really just how he plays in real games. Can he run NFL routes against NFL defensive backs that aren't his teammates? Because those guys, again, are just not very good. So I can't wait to see what happens opening week for him. I think that's going to be one of the better storylines around the league.
Jeff, I was listening to ESPN National Radio the other night, and you were on, and when everything happened with Dwayne Wade coming to the Bulls. First things first, just from a Cleveland perspective, what are the Cavaliers getting from 35-year-old Mike Dunleavy?
You know, I've always liked Mike Dunleavy. I know LeBron has liked him too. Dunleavy's problem is he's just, if you look at his body, he's kind of got a little bit of the Sam Bradford disease, where he's very talented, but his body will lend itself to injuries because he's very long, kind of lanky, so it's not a surprise that he has a hard time staying on the floor. But when he is on the floor, and I don't know what kind of role the Cavaliers are going to use him in, probably a reserve role, clearly.
Yeah.
I think that he will be a nice addition. He's very skilled. He's a very skilled guy. He can shoot the three. He can score in transition. Defensively, just kind of okay. But I think that's not a bad. I mean, of the two players the Bulls traded to get Mike Dunleavy instead of Jose Calderon, I think the Cavaliers did themselves a favor there. So I do think he can help, and I think that Cavaliers fans will like him if he stays healthy. You'll be surprised how efficient he is when he's on the floor if he's not battling any sort of nagging injuries this year.
Are you excited to see the prospect of a Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo, Jimmy Butler triumvirate at the United Center this year?
Wow, what kind of big three is that? That's going to be the big three that leads the league in locker room fights. I mean, I don't know how that's going to work out. Like, if I was Cleveland and the Cavaliers got Dwayne Wade, I would love it because that would be perfect for him. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not asking too much. You're putting him in a great spot where LeBron is there winning a championship with Kyrie and Kevin Love. I mean, that would be perfect for Dwayne Wade. Actually, the best thing for him would have been to go back to Miami, but, you know, obviously that thing with Pat Riley just was not going to be smoothed over. I don't really think it's going to work. You know, the problem with Chicago is you've got a head coach in Fred Hoiberg who is nothing like Tom Thibodeau,
right,
who was all about discipline and hard work and players listen to him. No one listens to Fred. And, you know, these are all three ball-dominant players. So I don't see how it's going to work. It'll be, if nothing else, it'll be compelling theater.
Yes.
Because before the Wade deal and the Rondo deal, there was nothing to watch in Chicago. You're going to watch Jimmy Butler shoot the ball 50 times a game? Is that going to excite you? No. But now you've got the chance of some fights, some locker room tension, yelling at the coach. It's going to be kind of a mess. But maybe they make the playoffs. But I don't think there's anyone in Chicago that, unless you are just the, you know, drunk on the Bulls Kool-Aid type, that thinks this team is anything better than maybe the seventh or eighth seed in the Eastern Conference next year.
Jeff, great stuff. We really appreciate the time. All the best to you in the Windy City, and we'll see you in late August at First Energy Stadium.
Absolutely, guys. We'll see you then. Have a great weekend.
All right. That's Jeff Dickerson joining us from ESPN 1000, ESPN Radio, and he's also the NFL Nation reporter at ESPN.com for the Bears. We will wrap things up for the week on Cleveland Browns Daily right after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I hope you enjoyed the interview we did with Jeff Dickerson from ESPN 1000 and also the ESPN.com NFL Nation Bears reporter. That was fun. He, as far as the Mike Dunleavy is concerned, good guy, but he's injury prone, which has been, you know, because he just is susceptible to injuries. The Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo, Jimmy Butler triumvirate will be
kind of rained on my parade.
Yeah, entertaining theater. But probably not entertaining basketball. But you got to, if let's say they're the eighth seed and they play the Cavs in the first round, that would be interesting.
He said they could lead the league in locker room brawls. I'm all about that as
oh,
well.
Oh, yeah.
Advocating.
It won't be boring. You know, he is a talk show host. Ugh, won't be boring. That'll be fun.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Better than just talking about Jimmy Butler again shooting 50 shots a game. You could talk about that. Hey, it's been fun these last 2 days.
Outstanding job.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. Jim Donovan will be in the chair in the Dog Bowl on Monday. He'll be back with Matt Wilhelm. So look forward to that. Always a pleasure to hear Jim Donovan host this show. So that'll be Monday. I will talk to you at 5 on the Bruce Hooley Show. Coming up next, it's the Golden Boys. Aaron Goldhammer, Emmett Golden will take you in here starting at the top of the hour. For Jason Gibbs, I'm Dave DiNatale. Thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.